Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs.
I didn't realize until I had my son how connected I feel to him and how disconnected I feel generally. Generally, it's just like a gaping dark hole and a lot of masking and a lot of, oh gosh, you're like this and you're joyful and you're, and it's like I show up in that space because I know people need me to show up in that space, but that is not how I feel on the inside. I feel like nothing.
Hi, dearest Bravies. It's me, Susanna Peace Lavelle, fellow Brave mom, author, coach, and one of the dedicated co-hosts for the Brave Together podcast. For this story episode today, number 229, I get to talk to Natasha M. Nurse Esquire, who shares a story about her recent diagnosis of autism as an adult alongside her young son and how that is helping her redesign her life. And after she shares her story, I get to dive in and chat with her about what it was like growing up with undiagnosed autism, as well as ADHD, and how much more beautiful life is now that she doesn't have to mask all the time. Natasha is a neurodivergent innovator. She is also the managing director of partnerships and business operations at MRM Education. And her passion for learning and authentic relationship building fuels her mission to make education more equitable and impactful for all. Thank you for this amazing work. We are so lucky to have you on our planet, Natasha. A quick reminder here to join our free community at wearebravetogether.org to support our growth by rating and reviewing this podcast and sharing episodes that inspire you. And of course, check out our full episodes weekly on the We Are Brave Together YouTube channel. Natasha and I got to dive deep today, and I think you are really going to feel so inspired by her authenticity as well as her powerful drive to help create a world that allows people to be their full selves without judgment. And now, please enjoy the oh-so-passionate truth-teller, Natasha M. Nurse.
At 37, I was diagnosed with autism, high-functioning, and ADHD. Honestly, this has changed everything for me. It was the missing puzzle piece. Many things suddenly made sense. The sensory overload, the social exhaustion, the way my mind was constantly running. But as eye-opening as the diagnosis was, I didn't have time to sit with it quietly. I'm a mom, and parenting while learning how to understand my own neurodivergent brain, that's been one of the most beautiful and complicated journeys I've ever taken. For years, I thought people have tried to make me feel like I was just too sensitive, too intense, or too much. I learned to push through and keep going. But under the surface, I was constantly navigating a world that felt like it wasn't built for me. I masked all the time. I adapted, I overcompensated, but secretly knew this didn't seem right or even normal. When I became a parent, all of those internal struggles were magnified. There's no hiding from your triggers when a toddler is screaming, throwing food, or needing your full attention at 6 a.m. on a Sunday. Thanks to my supportive village, I was strongly encouraged that enough was enough. I needed to figure out how to parent without losing myself. And that meant finally learning how to support the real me. Since my diagnosis, I've had to unlearn a lot of what I thought I should be and start embracing who I actually am. Here are some lessons that have stuck. My needs matter too. Before, I constantly put myself last. I thought being a good mom or good professional meant pushing through and staying strong. Now, I know that taking care of myself, whether it's a 10-minute break, alone time, or sensory decompression, isn't selfish. It's essential. Routines help, but flexibility is key. I thrive with structure, but life with a kid doesn't always follow the plan. Learning to build a rhythm that works for both of us and letting go of perfection has helped me feel more grounded and less overwhelmed. I've stopped doing things just because I'm supposed to. That includes going to social events that drain me, trying to be the quote-unquote perfect parent, or keeping up appearances to seem neurotypical. I'm done with that. I'd rather be real. I can only be myself. And thankfully, that's exactly what my son wants and needs. My son is learning from me every day. When I model emotional honesty, like saying, "Mommy needs quiet time," or "That sound is really loud for my brain right now," I'm teaching him that it's okay to advocate for yourself. And I love that. He's also really great at using the emotion posters we have throughout the house to share how he is feeling and what he needs and when he is feeling overwhelmed. Therapy has helped, but so has community. Finding others on platforms like ShareWell and Swellcast who share similar experiences, especially others diagnosed later in life, has been the best gift. I've also leaned into tools that make my days easier. Visual checklists, scheduled breaks, noise-canceling headphones, and building a home that feels like a calm, supportive space. And the biggest shift? Giving myself permission to slow down, to rest, to stop proving myself and just be. One of the most unexpected blessings in this journey has been my role as managing director of partnerships and business operations at MRM Education. I get to wake up every day and work with a team that values difference, a place where neurodivergence and being neurodivergent isn't just accepted, it's celebrated. At MRM Education, we support diverse learners and their families in ways that feel deeply personal to me. My lived experience doesn't just inform the work, it is the work. I'm not hiding who I am, I get to lead with it. That kind of alignment between who I am and what I do, it's something I didn't even know I was missing until I had it. I'm letting go of hustle culture, of overcommitting, of constantly proving my worth. I'm focused on showing up authentically for myself, my beautiful, bold, and brilliant son, and my neurodivergent community. What's next? More growth, more storytelling, more building spaces where neurodivergent voices are heard, respected, and empowered. I want my child to grow up knowing that his mama showed up in the world as herself, fully, unapologetically, and with purpose. Being neurodivergent isn't just part of my identity, it's my strength, and it's shaped a life I'm finally proud to call mine.
Hi, Natasha. It's so good to see you today. Thanks for joining us.
So happy to be here. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. I'm doing okay. How's that for an answer? How about you?
I know. It's such a hard question. Every other like neurodivergent person I speak to, they're like, stop asking me that question because it's it never feels safe really to answer it because, you know, if I told you my day is terrible, right? Like there's nothing you can do. And then if I told you my day is great and you told me, yeah, well, it's, you know, kicking buckets, right? Like, It's such a complicated question. I think for me, I'm always the person who I'd rather like be like, what are you reading? Be like, girl, yeah, let me tell you. Or like, what am I watching? You know, like stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. And I'm raising a neurodivergent young woman myself named Arizona. I have learned from her to just be so authentic, you know, with I'm really conscious. I really think about my answers to her question. She has taught me how to communicate and converse in different ways, which is just beautiful. So I'm selfishly so excited to talk to you about so many things. But what I would love to start off with, since probably a lot of our listeners are just learning about you today, Natasha M. Nurse, Esquire.
Yeah.
And cannot forget the Esquire. Mm-hmm. I am so, so interested in little Natasha. So maybe if you could tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up, where, you know, what did childhood look like for you? What did it feel like for you? Some of your feelings, you know, and big feelings potentially around growing up.
I'd love that. Yeah, thank you. So hello, world. who is Natasha M. Ewart before she became Natasha M. Nurse? Oh, gosh, she was sad. She was a little sad girl. She was a very accomplished girl, but she was very sad, very lonely, very confused, not understanding why everything felt very immense and also very hard, and not having the emotional safety in the household to even talk through my feelings. I got diagnosed with autism and ADHD at 37. And I really, if you were to ask me how I feel like I'm like a three-year-old, because it's only now am I starting to ask myself, how do I feel? Because that was never a question I ever asked myself. I saw that on television, on film. I've been an avid content
consumer and maker since I was a child. I've been writing poems since I was six. I was left alone starting at the age of six. I was extremely independent and self-reliant. I started being able to put together my little lunches and dinners, and my mom worked full-time, went to school full-time, so she went days without sleeping. Dad was out working, doing the thing. So I was just Natasha doing her little thing, writing poetry, setting schedules for myself, very autonomous. I grew up in Manhattan in Stuyvesant Town, one of the best parts of the city. If you've never been, totally go. It's beautiful. It's like a little heaven in the city. And I loved the diversity that New York offers in the different foods and the different experiences you can have. I did not like the isolation, because as much as people prescribe to the notion that New York is a melting pot, I push back. I push back on that, because I find in growing up, I was born in 86, that New York was very much like pockets of different groupings are throughout the city. So you can go to Chinatown, you could go to Italian town and India town, right? Like all these spaces. But in Stuytown, I was one of few Black people that lived there at the time. And, you know, very much race was a thing. The first time I heard the N-word, I was 6 years old. You know, so like as much as people are like, oh, everyone can be here and make it. It was hard. It was definitely hard. And I didn't understand just how to be, right? Because again, parents from Jamaica, so very much productivity driven household. What am I doing always was the question, not how am I doing? That was irrelevant. you know, now my parents, I think, try because we're having conversations. But even now, I'm like, who are you fooling? Just ask me what I did for the day. Like, because that's always productivity, productivity, productivity.
We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, brave friends.
So there was that. And then, you know, I never really understood how to connect with other kids. You know, I would ask about productivity, right? Because that's all that I knew. You know, so people didn't want to talk to me about their homework. They didn't want to talk to me about their you know, extra credit assignments. No one spoke to me unless I spoke to them. So it was a very lonely and just sad and insular type of experience. The highlight was I had a lot of freedom since I was left alone. So, and because I'm a good girl, I structured my time around homework and reading 50 books or 100 books a summer. Like I was very much, again, about being effective and productive, but never really growing in the space of how do I try to understand who Natasha is and who she wants to be. And envisioning, you know, the 39-year-old version I am today, you know, the six-year-old never dreamed I could be her because she didn't allow herself to dream that. She didn't even think about what it would be like to be me. So I'm now really uncovering, I think, things I probably should have done throughout childhood. Just it wasn't modeled to me. It wasn't safe for me. And so it's an interesting journey and, you know, Esquire. So what was my journey? Went to Penn State undergrad, wanted to be a vet because I love animals because I didn't like people, right? Like, but I don't like cutting animals open. I don't like watching them die. So started taking law classes, started taking business classes. The autism, loved the structure and the order. And so loved that. Started New York Law School. Woohoo. 08 crash. Perfect timing. Yay. Couldn't get a job. Yay. got into legal education, sales, people operations, DEI, and now managing director at MRM Education, which is where I kind of culminate all the skills that I've had throughout my career, all the things I can do, and bring it into a space where I can bring my best neurodivergent self-reflective self.
I mean, okay, so first of all, we have like 27 things in common already. I can't wait to talk to you more offline. And I'm just assuming you're still in the city.
No, yeah, moved from New York to Arizona, June of 2019. Me and my husband wanted peace, and he's an electrical engineer. And so he's an engineering consultant now. And he was flying back and forth, took me one time, fell in love with the red earth mm-hmm. and the cacti and the mountains and the peace, you know, people say good morning without trying to rob you. It's quite lovely. I mean, quite lovely. I still, you know, clench my pearls when people are really nice. And I have to, unlearn that, like, it's okay to be nice, right? New York, listen, love it. If you've never been, always go. But New York is a grind and it's a hustle and it's a culture on and of its own that is very different from other parts of the country. In the Southwest, it's calmer, it's peaceful. And, you know, I like it. I think I expressed this to you before that I don't think I would have been a mother had I not come here. I don't think I would have started to even uncover what peace looks like for me had I not moved to Arizona.
Wow. So another commonality, I also mm-hmm. used to live in Arizona. Mm. That is part and parcel as to why I named my daughter Arizona. I actually had a beautiful, peaceful experience there. And I can understand and absolutely relate to sort of the immigrant parent mentality of like, okay, yeah. tell me what you're doing, how you mm-hmm. do it. And if you don't come home with an A+, yep. don't talk to me, right?
Yeah.
But I see how everything has prepared you for who mm-hmm. you are today. So I love like reflecting back. I don't know if you are familiar with or have seen the film Slumdog Millionaire. Have you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is one of my favorite films, just because you see all the pieces that you learn along the way to culminate in this one event that becomes so significant for you. Oh, and so as you were talking about all of your different mm-hmm. stopping points, right? The blueprint so far, right? Mm-hmm. And we're only 39, Natasha.
Yeah.
So much more to go, right?
Definitely. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I'm grateful for it. It's so interesting. I mean, yeah, the phrase like life is best understood backwards is 1,000% true. I mean, I try to teach my 4-year-old son, copy paste, also autistic, the idea that, we want to be really present to understand what we're going through, but we're not going to understand it until we get through it. And we do a lot with him to help him understand how to tackle people anxiety and things like that. And it's always interesting because it's like, we'll do the thing. And then after, you know, it's nice to see the wheels turning of like, what did you like from this? Were you proud of yourself? Would you want to do this again? What would you do different? Like I'm trying to approach, that's what I love about parenting, because it forces you to be a better version of yourself, but also to like heal thyself through parenting, right? Like, you know, and I see myself so differently, and it's a little selfish, but like, I always say like the most beautiful parts of me and my husband live inside of our son, like, and it'll bring me to tears all the time because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like he's so beautiful. And like, that's what other people see of me, because it's so hard to see the beauty in myself, but I see it magnanimously through him. And I'm like, wow, that's what people think of me. That's what people, because I know the best of me is in him. So it's like, oh gosh, it makes me cry every time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, because it is, it's this idea that you give birth. And I want to ask you about your motherhood journey, because you were saying that you weren't quite sure if this would have happened if you had stayed in New York. But what I'm so curious about, because this is so relatable, and I feel like, you know, I had this child, you know, I gave birth, and right away I was like, oh my gosh, how whole and complete and perfect are you? I'm looking in the mirror and being like, okay, Susanna, but you know, we're so hard on ourselves. And I was like, well, what's your hair and what's it today? And then what are you getting this bulge around the middle and all of these different things? And yet here's my daughter, you know, pooping and farting, and we're like celebrating with joy, right? Like so ecstatic. Yes, that's a good one. Get it out, right?
Yes, yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about like, did you have were you thinking about maybe somebody helping a mom? Like what was your little girl, Natasha, thinking as you're reading the 50 to 100 books every summer, which I love.
Yeah.
do you see yourself, husband and five kids, or did you have a vision?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was terrified of that idea because I struggled with being an autistic child, not knowing I was autistic, and then not knowing how to manage that, right, with a set of parents that definitely were not equipped for that. Then, you know, when you grow up and you don't necessarily have emotional safety and emotional connection to the degree that I would have wanted, and the degree that I have with my child, I didn't know, you know, the phrase, like, you can only give what you have. I was scared that I didn't have, like, the chops to give what I needed to give for a kid. And people would always tell me, gosh, you're going to be a great mom. Because even my dad, you know, even when I was a kid, you know, my dad would travel and he would say, I would help him pack his bag and remind him, like, caretaking, right? Like, I've always been a caretaker. My mom is a strong, very strong caretaker. So I inherited that from her. But I don't know. I was scared that I didn't know, because I don't understand people, right? Like, I'm like, I don't know if I can get it. And the irony of it is, because I became a parent is how I even uncovered becoming autistic, because, you know, I didn't realize until I had my son how connected I feel to him and how disconnected I feel generally. Generally, it's just like a gaping dark hole and a lot of masking and a lot of, oh gosh, you're like this and you're joyful and you're, and it's like, I show up in that space because I know people need me to show up in that space, but that is not how I feel on the inside. I feel like nothing.
Right.
But with KJ, it's like pop rock candy. It's just like, I feel very alive and very connected and we have inside jokes. And it's just like, and I know what he wants to eat and he knows what I like. And it's just like, it's an interesting, just like unsaid tethering that is so alive and so vibrant. And I'm so grateful for it, because it's kind of like, you know, I think you become a mother because it becomes the opportunity where you can just be you for you. And there's no expectation of what you need to be, that your child just wants the totality of you. And I feel like the rest of my life, people are commanding or demanding versions of me. And my son just wants me as I am.
Yes.
And it's the most truest and beautiful, you know, so I feel like, I try to explain to people that it feels like life is generally like holding your breath. And then with KJ, I can breathe and I can exhale. And there are few people in my life that I feel like I can exhale. Normally it's hold my breath and say the right things and do the right things and be the things, right? But I just, you know, and that's why it can be so hard. And that's why neurodivergent people will struggle with, you know, mental health issues, because we don't feel like we feel like we're living in a world not designed for us, but that is constantly scrutinizing us and judging us without taking us into consideration. So you're always failing and you're always not enough and you're too much of this and too little of that. And it's just like, but can I just be me?
Yeah.
And why is that not, why is me not good enough?
Well, I am not neurodivergent. I am very much a good girl. Like I had to learn how to be, you know, proper and
prim and proper, right? Yeah.
Good grades and, you know, seen, not heard, right?
Especially
a girl growing up in my family. And I love this beautiful opportunity that life provides for us through our children to choose us. I really absolutely fully believe that they choose to come through us, even though they are not of us, they come from us. And so I'm wondering if you have the same experience with KJ, who's now four. It's like, you're, as a parent, you're like, I'm on this journey. I'm here to actually be with your soul along. It's a parallel journey of learning and breathing and growing and evolving and transforming. And so I'm curious about the parallel portion of it where you're raising him. How did you even consider that perhaps he's on the spectrum, or did a doctor mention to you? What was that like? And then how did that specifically turn the light bulb on for you with regard to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So from early on, KJ definitely displayed that he was autistic. Me and my husband weren't sure necessarily. We saw something. So he does the standing on the tippy toes all the time. So he walks that way. And then he was, I don't know if you've seen other autistic kids do this, but he'll like line up all his trucks and his cars, and also an obsessive fixation around toys or specific things, and they have to be lined up. And if anything moves or touches it, the world has gone awry, right? Like that type of stuff. And then he used to, for sensory stuff, I think at the time, he's thankfully calmed down, would get overwhelmed, overstimulated, and start like slapping his head, and then having those autistic meltdowns, right? Where it's more than a tantrum. It is definitely a, like falling apart kind of situation for him. And that was indicative of just like, this is notable. This is interesting. And then also very picky eater, I want to eat this, but now I don't want to eat that. I never want to eat this. I want to eat this, and I have to eat this. And that type of focus. And with me, thankfully, I do have some people in my support village where his godfather, I would talk to him about, just how I'm feeling and, his deep involvement with our kid. And, I was saying that when KJ would cry, and as a normal baby should, right, they'd cry. It was really, I was having really dark reactions where it was just painful on another level. It was as if I was being stabbed. Right. And it was just like, I can't take this anymore. And that was, not necessarily super healthy. Right. Because your baby has to cry. That's a natural part of existence. But I was responding so negatively and so harshly to the point where, he was like, hey, maybe just talk to someone. Right. And I'm so grateful for that because it led to then uncovering and talking about, why are you feeling this way? And you feel about this, right? And then getting diagnosed and, and ADHD and autism, those are party tricks that like to go together a lot of times. It's yay, right? And then that led to us saying, okay, well, that's my journey. And if you do look at the signs, right, 70% chance of if you're autistic, that your kid's being autistic, right? So it's yay, copy paste. he wasn't tested for ADHD yet. I'll do that a little bit later. And I think there's alignment there. There's definitely struggle with sleep, a lot of energy. I mean, he does have boy energy, which is a thing. Boy energy is a thing. I wanted to be a sloth most of my childhood. I was I'm just going to lay and read and be studious, watch a film or something. But he's I want to destroy, but then I want to line things up and then I want to think and then I want to watch this and the going. So that, it was, again, it's so interesting how having a kid reveals more truth and honesty about you.
Again, it's an honoring of exactly who we are, authentically at our intrinsically at our core. How is that?
Yep.
How is that wrong or bad? Really?
It's not, it's just different. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things that I love in this piece that you read so beautifully for us is the idea that, and we talk about self-care and soul care, even as mothers, especially as caregivers, but, if we're adding in also the neurodivergent piece on mother and child, right? Mm-hmm. I like how you talk about, my needs matter too. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that looks like for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I really struggled with watching how hard, and my mom still does it, she's a person who, because she's a strong caretaker, always puts the needs of others before herself. And I think a part of that is growing up really a horrible, hard, abusive life in Jamaica taught her that it was everything else, all the work, all the things, but none of the things for her. So she's now in a stage of her life of retirement where her needs are coming more to the forefront. And I'm asking her to tell me, what do you want? What do you need? These were things that I'd never heard her ask for help. I never heard her say, this is what I would like. So I struggled with that, growing up, because again, I grew up Jamaican American, which I think is akin to kind of biracial, because in my household, Jamaica, but in the world, American, right? But American values are different than what Caribbean values are. So it was an interesting dichotomy of what the world perceived me as versus what I and my family perceive me as. And, where do I align and pick and choose? And it's not. It's you are holistically made up of, many things. Human beings are multifaceted. So you don't have to exist in one space or one box, right? It's all the boxes, all the things. And so because of that narrative, though, I knew that, and me and my husband talked about this even when we were dating, of if his being a father was really important to him. But I told him, if we're going to do this, I didn't know I was autistic early on, but I did know that there are certain things that I struggle with. The autism and the ADHD means I'm also a little bit impatient and rigid, right, around what I need and how things have to be. And he's more patient and he can, flex and bend a little bit more, which that's harder for me. I really struggle with that, right? Because if I set my tone for the day, it's really hard if someone just blows it up, which kids, they do what they do when they want to do. And it's oh gosh, how do I manage?
Stay with us, Bravies. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
So we talked about the fact that he wanted to be more of a stay-at-home dad. He wanted to do more of the traditional caretaking. If I was interested in doing more of the working, and I'm like, yes, Alex, 200, yes. Like 1,000%.
Yeah.
Signed up for that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we talked about the fact that like what motherhood was going to have to look like for me, even though I didn't fully know all the reasons driving that, you know, and I like that KJ grows up seeing modern motherhood in how it worked for me versus modern parenthood and fatherhood, what it looks like for my husband. But, you know, I will definitely, you know, we'll go to an activity, for instance, and then I need like an hour or 2 hours by myself, you know, and I'll tell KJ, hey, mommy's going to go upstairs. I need to decompress. I need some alone time. And he, you know, it's hard because he, you know, he craves mama. He just does. Yeah. But he also, I think, appreciates, and I hope he will learn to appreciate the fact that I'm saying what my needs are and I'm implementing. I'm not just talking. I'm going and I'm taking my alone time.
Yes.
Or, you know, when I tell him, you know what, it's time for a nap, right? Mommy, you're going to nap. Yes, I'm going to nap. Like inserting rest in his day, inserting me time in his day, helping him pick the books. I try to have him be very bought into like, what would you like to eat? Why do you want to eat this? Encouraging, you know, and you know, he's a kid. So it's kind of going to be like sometimes candy and pizza, and you know, you have to guide them. Well, you know, but you know, he sees me create the life that I want for myself, which is more important than me telling him what I want my life to
That's
be.
Right.
Because, you know, kids, you know, as much as you can tell them what you want them to do and feel, they see, and it's what they see that dictates what they internalize. And so I'm very conscientious around trying to demonstrate what I need KJ to understand about who I am as a mother and who I am as a person rather than tell him who I am.
Amen and bravo. And you are, I mean, what's happening now is that he's learning self-advocacy at such an early stage. That is a beautiful quality that I wish for every child to be able to, you know, witness. In their households and their surroundings. I am so happy that KJ and you and Alex are together in this like symbiotic little bubble of juiciness and joy.
Thank you.
So in terms of your storytelling, you're talking about what's next for you, more growth, more storytelling.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you?
Oh yeah. Thank you. So for me, I think growth in that, again, right? I'm 39 going on 4, right? Like I am trying to start to understand what is this next chapter going to look like now that I know. Because once you get the diagnosis, that's not the end of the chapter. That's the beginning of the chapter. So I'm now in the beginning of a new book of my life written and designed by me, for me, right? As Tony Robbins teaches us, life is happening for you, not to you, right? So, right. You know, what does that look like for me? So a part of it is definitely the body of work I do with MRM education, helping parents and organizations get the services they need for their neurodivergent and neurotypical students, getting the college support that they need for both audiences, right? And doing great work there as who I am, not holding my breath. So I think that that's exciting. And I look forward to a very abundant and promising future there. But also, I'm a content creator, I'm a speaker, I'm a podcaster, I'm an author, right? So continuing to live out, create stories, share stories, inspire others to do the same. That's also really important for me, because I think, you know, my greatest idol was Maya Angelou, because she showed me that you don't have to be one thing or do one thing. So that's very much a part of with ADHD. Why you look at my LinkedIn, you say, this girl, wait a minute, this is a profile for 27 people. This doesn't make sense. But it does. When you know me, you're like, oh, this reads. This totally reads. So what does that look like? But then also, you know, enjoying motherhood, right? Because I, again, because of how I grew up, I want to make sure that even though, yes, I work 18, 19, 20 hour days, I'm working, that I'm still inserting daily moments with KJ, because again, he's not going to care about how much money mama makes if he feels like I wasn't there when I needed to be there. And you don't have to be there for all the things, but you need to be there when they need you to be there. So making sure I am tapped in with him and I'm asking him, you know, are we feeling safe? Are we feeling connected? Are you feeling loved? What would you like to do with mama? Right. And really continuing a love story with him, because I'm 1,000% in love with him. And making sure that he becomes the man he has envisioned, that we make space for growth and failure and wins. And what does that look like for him? It doesn't matter what me or dad think. It's all about him, right? And making sure that that looks good. And then also just being curious. You know, I think life is really heavy right now, and it's probably going to be heavy for the next couple of years. How do we still make space for joy? How do we still find time to laugh? How do we still find time to be like, oh, I don't know, let me find out. Right. And like really serve that inner person, because, you know, I heard a phrase that said, someone said, you never grow up. Right. So like that 6-year-old version of you, that 10-year-old, that 12-year-old, she's still there. He's still there. Right. Like they're still within us. But how are we serving them? How are we catering to them? How are we making sure that they're proud of who we are today? There's a lot of internal work that has to happen. Right. And we have to be willing to do it, because if you're not willing to do the work, then you can't desire the outcome that you want. So that's what comes next for me.
And yes, taking care of little Natasha as through the lens of being Mama Natasha to KJ, right? And then also this new lens of you're just starting this with a new lens. You're four years old, right? So next year, 5, 6, 7, right? So you have the universe is exactly telling you that everything is for you. You know, every circumstance, situation, challenge, experience. And I'm kind of getting the chills, because I'm just feeling all of this synergy in your life, your purpose, your son, everything is.
Thank you. You
know, it's like your life and you're living. It's all enmeshed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
So lastly, thank you for this conversation. And I know that we're going to be following my daughter, because honestly, she is looking for neurodivergent female role models, especially role models of color. Okay.
Yeah. So
she has been sort of a lone wolf, even though she was diagnosed at 2.5, because she is often the only girl in the room.
Yeah.
Only girl in the room. So I am wondering then if there's, you know, something you can say, like a word or a phrase that you can share with a mom who has either been newly diagnosed themselves as an adult, or their child has just received a diagnosis. What would your...
My words of wisdom be?
Yeah, please.
Absolutely. I would say, please take a deep breath. We struggle so much in life with not getting enough oxygen and water. So take a deep breath, drink some water, hold your heart, right? Hold your temple, hold your body. And say, like, I am okay. No matter what's going on in your life, you have to know that you are okay and that this is happening for a reason, right? So I'm grateful to know that I can, no matter what faces me, that I know I'm going to be okay and I'm going to learn something. right? So I would encourage that parent and that child to know, first, you are who you are. Mm-hmm. If you were meant to be somebody else, you would be. So this is the journey. This is the path, right? Own it, accept it. Let's step into it. We can't make something better. We can't do something different if we won't first accept that this is where we're at, right? So accept where you're at and then get excited, because there's a lot of resources. There's a lot more science. There's a lot more support that's out there that's going to make this journey whatever you want it to be. And the language of better and worse, right? If that doesn't serve you, don't use it. Yes. Now is the time to figure out what you need to do to serve you. I try to tell KJ that all the time. Don't say something if it's not serving you. If it's causing havoc, why are we saying it? Why are we doing it?
Yeah.
We need to design life to serve you. So if you feel you need more support, what does that look like for you? Is it academic? Is it for physical therapy? Is it for mental support? Try to label it, right? We can't get it if we can't name it. So try to figure out what is the realm of what's going on. And if you don't even know how to do that, start typing in Google. What are the things you're experiencing? And you'll find the articles and you'll find the phrasing and the nomenclature that maybe you don't have today, right? But you have to know, first and foremost, I'm okay, right? And do know that if you're experiencing it, guess what? Somebody else is too. Somebody else has put it in the search engine. You just got to be resourceful, right? And you know, whether you have ADHD or not, we all can type into Google. We can all pick up a phone, call somebody, go on a website. Like, we have what it takes to change our life. You just have to be willing to do it. So will it require work? Yep. Will it maybe require a form of uncomfortability? Probably.
Yeah.
Human beings only grow when we're uncomfortable. We don't grow when we're comfortable. So again, what's the reason why we're going through this? But be determined, be a mama bear, be a papa bear, go after what you need for your kid. Be as determined as moving heaven and earth, because sometimes that's what is required. A lot of times for me to get help for KJ, I have to turn into New York, Natasha. I have to get real wild. Be like, you weren't ready for this smoke, but I'm going to bring it because you weren't listening to kind Natasha. So we're going to have to amplify. We're going to have to turn up. And 1,000%, will I turn up for KJ? Absolutely. Right. Heaven and earth, I will move.
Yeah.
And you may have to do that for your kid.
Yeah.
Right. But they're worth it.
Yeah.
And also, when you get what you want done, how good is that going to feel? Right. Like, you can do anything for your baby. Damn straight.
Yeah.
Because that's the position and the honor it is to be a parent. It means you have to do whatever your baby needs, whatever they need, and do it and get it done. And then tell the world, share your experience, encourage and empower other parents to go after and get the same things that they need for their baby.
I mean, that's it. There's nothing more to say, period, end of story.
Yeah.
Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your advocacy. Thank you for your continued storytelling. And thank you for being a light in this world to the people who need to see, hear, and feel you and your energy. And lastly, Natasha, and I hope this will not be our last conversation on this platform ever, because there's not a lot to talk about. I would like to know where people can find you. What's your Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
All of that. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So please, 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 if you are looking for any academic support, mrmeducation.com. I can't speak highly enough about our educators and our learning specialists that are here to serve and support you for free. Go ahead, schedule a consultation for free. Go ahead and get that. If you want to connect with me, LinkedIn, Natasha M. Nurse Esquire. There's only one me. So you'll find me there. You can email me, Natasha@mrmeducation.com. You can email the company, info@mrmeducation.com. You can find me on Instagram, Natasha M. Nurse. And check us out, our podcast. We're on Swellcast, so swell.com/MRM. That's really fun. We have new questions every single week. And so you'll hear things about neurodivergence, athletic stuff, college prep. So lots of fun prompting questions that parents, educators, everyone alike can come on through and engage. And first and lastly, I guess I would say, is just thank you for listening to my story. Thank you for being here, and continue, because I think these are conversations that need to be had every single time. And we need to spread the word about this. Yeah.
Yes. So important. Thank you so much for your energy today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization, We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats all over the United States. We've also published 2 books, our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight, and our newest release, Suddenly Brave Together, Letters to Caregiving Moms at a Defining Moment in Their Lives. Both books offer stories of hope and transformation and encouragement and validation for every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.